Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board today. We pray that you're having a good day. It is our prayer that you're staying safe, utilizing the personal hygiene of washing your hands, and don't touch your face. I understand some key elements in this thing of being safe in the days of tension, hysteria, and panic that's going around the world because of the pandemic. So our prayers are with you that you will be safe. You will continue to look to the Lord. I believe God is reaching the world today that we might look up to Him and allow Him to be the guide and the direction in our life rather than looking for government. I am prayerful for our nation, for our cities, and for what God would have us to do in response to these difficult days that we're in. We're going to be talking somewhat about that today, but in a little different vein. There are a lot of folks that are panic-stricken over the headlines, and we've got headline news 24/7 that's talking about the coronavirus and the number of cases that's being found each day and the number of deaths. It's almost like a death dirge with the count 1 and 2 and 3 and 100 and 200, et cetera, et cetera. It can be pretty depressing, I believe, for the average person. In fact, I read an article the other day that said, as a result of what is happening, that we can very well expect suicides to skyrocket as bankruptcies and businesses go under, that we could expect that. I'm praying that does not happen, but that is some of the projections. In fact, as I'll talk about later in the broadcast, there's been a survey. I don't know, I believe it was Rasmussen that had done the survey, and said that about 56% of the people feel that the next thing would be breadlines in America, as was found in the Great Depression. And again, I pray that we don't go there. But this is some of the things that are taking place. In fact, one of the news articles that I read just this morning, one out of four say that's one-fourth, say that they believe that we need to simply postpone the November election this year and have a special election next year after this is all passed. Well, there are a lot of things up in the air. A lot of things taking place that's causing dilemma, despair, discouragement, etc. In fact, I read an article where even one of the Kardashians is saying that she believes that it's because of evil in America that these things are taking place. And she's probably about 90% right, because the days of the tribulation after the church is raptured out, that'll be the very thing that God is doing. He is bringing about judgment upon a wicked world that said no to Jesus Christ. But we're going to be talking with Dr. Neil Phelps today. Dr. Phelps is with us on the set. Dr. Phelps and I are going to be talking about what we call future headlines. Future headlines. What will the newspapers be like? What will the television broadcast be like? Future headlines for the days before us and beyond. But before we get into the monologue, the dialogue, and the discussion, let me remind you that you can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. Love to have your input, your questions, your comments, your dialogue and discussion on the issues that we're talking about today. It'd be great to hear from you. I want to know that we're reaching you, our listeners, and that it's a blessing for you. Encouragement, a challenge, and inspirational as well as informational. Sometimes a different view on the news makes a vast difference, especially for the Christian. But as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. Jesus said to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then Jesus himself said in John 14:6, "I am truth. And then he makes a declaratory statement in John 17:17, where he says, thy word is truth. Ladies and gentlemen, the greatest source book that you can go to, that anyone can go to for searching for truth, will be the Word of God. It's the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word. God doesn't make any mistakes. He doesn't have any errors in the Bible. Some might think that and say that. When somebody says there's an error in the Bible, they are declaring themselves to be wiser than God, saying, I have found God had made an error. We're talking about truth. It was George Orwell a number of years ago that said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. But it's the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus that made a statement that I have enjoyed so much after the discovery of it. Jan Hus said, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death. And I believe that should behoove every Christian today to stand on the truth and listen to the truth, love the truth, live the truth, and yes, even defend the truth, even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time also carries a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with a full line of Honda generators. They have a knowledgeable staff to answer all your questions about power equipment and power generation backup, landscape lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old San Augustine Road. 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's located right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. Find the flag, the gigantic flagpole flying with Old Glory flying there 24/7. The base of that flagpole you'll find Tools for Time, toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about future headlines, headline news. Dr. Phelps is with me, and we're going to be talking about today for this broadcast, after we get down to the point of making the point of where we're going with these future headlines, after the monologue. We're going to have some dialogue and discussion on that. He and I are going to be talking about some biblical truth. If you're at home, let me suggest something. Don't try to do this if you're driving. If you're home, get your Bible, turn to Revelation chapter 6, Revelation chapter 8, Revelation chapter 11. We're going to be talking about some of those events that we find there, which are future headlines. They're future headlines, some of the things that are very close to us today. We look at and some stay close to the news and trying to figure out what's going on and what's happening. But ladies and gentlemen, all of the headlines today are focused on, in some way, dealing with the coronavirus pandemic. State after state are imposing a total shutdown on their cities and their states. Just today, California's governor announced a shelter-in-place governmental order. The article says, California Governor Gavin Newsom announces statewide coronavirus stay-at-home order. Now, stay-at-home order is some call shelter-in-place. And when these orders are given, many are not aware of the fact they're using what is called martial law, declaring martial law to police the people and control the people. And it might be valid, it may not be. I still have a lot of questions about the modus operandi in which is used today by our governmental agencies to try to, in their turn, prevent the spread of the coronavirus. It's a wicked, evil, dangerous, deadly virus. I understand that. Not questioning the medical science on that at all. I do question some of the Communist Network news media today siding with China and declaring that China did not start the virus. It was not the place of the virus first starting. They're trying to be the talking heads for China, and I resent that. I reject that completely. But this article about the governor in California, Los Angeles, the headline, California Governor Gavin Newsom on Thursday evening announced his enacting a statewide order for nearly 40 million residents to stay at home, a wide-reaching measure for the most populous state in the country as the coronavirus spreads. Listen to what he says. The order took effect midnight on Friday morning. It prohibits gatherings outside and requires non-essential businesses to close in an effort to slow the spread of the virus. Quote, we need to bend the curve in the state of California, Newsom said during a news conference. There's a social contract here. People, I think, recognize the need to do more. They will adjust and adapt as they have. He added, this is a moment we need to make tough decisions. This is a moment where we need to have some straight talk, and we need to tell the people the truth. May I pause for a moment and laugh? Tell the people the truth. That'd be the first time I believe Gavin Newsom has been able to use that word. But anyway, public events have been canceled. Bars, dining restaurants, gyms, and clubs will all be closed. Essential services such as grocery stores, pharmacies, and banks will remain open. I'm glad to hear that because, ladies and gentlemen, if you hear one city, one state say they're going to close everything, including the banks, you can count on a major, major, major catastrophic response from the people and a major, major, major rush as would make 1929 through 33 look like child's play. But he is not the only one. Shelter in place for months. Not in this land of the free. It's by Pat Buchanan. Pat Buchanan says, it's a war, says President Donald Trump, of his efforts to contain the coronavirus pandemic, and likened it, his role, to that of a wartime president. The New York governor, Andrew Cuomo, welcomed the president's claims to his commander-in-chief role in the crisis and his resolve. The president and I agreed yesterday. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's a miracle in itself for the governor, Andrew Cuomo, to publicly say that he agrees with the president on anything. He says, we're fighting the same war, and this is a war. Further in this article, this month, millions of Americans will be added to an unemployment roll, and millions of senior citizens, elderly, and the elderly have already followed government directives to self-isolate or shelter in place. There is talk of quarantines lasting not days. Listen, this is Pat Buchanan speaking, and it was reverberated then on CBN News this morning, the Pat Robertson News Network. It says they're talking about quarantine lasting not days, not weeks, as Americans knew in the days of measles, mumps, and chickenpox, scarlet fever, and polio, but lasting for months upon months. And is the country prepared for months or years of social isolation? If that is what is required to win this war, we must be. Ladies and gentlemen, on the CBN News this morning, they were talking about this. They were interviewing physicians, asking questions that had been text or Twitter to emailed in to the network. And it was stated by that news dialogue that this is, even though we've been told, shelter in place for 15 days, close everything for 15 days, it's going to escalate to another 2 weeks, another 2 weeks, another 2 weeks. And according to CBN News this morning, and I don't want to frighten anybody listening, they said it could be 14 to 18 months. 14 to 18 months. Now let that sink in for a moment. All of you have been to the grocery store and you've seen the panic that's taking place. You've heard the hysteria on the news. You've heard the news of them releasing prisoners in some of the states, some of the felons. In fact, one prison with about 1,900 prisoners. They released over 200 of them with the slate of others to be released. These prisoners going out on the streets, they certainly this time in this era cannot find a job. They're going to be marauders in the streets, burglarizing cars, burglarizing homes. And I'm fearful, ladies and gentlemen, that we're going to see not only the pandemic, but panic in the streets as a result of some of the things that our governmental leadership's making decisions to do. Now, again, I'm not trying to frighten you on this broadcast today. I'm just trying to speak truth as to what we're seeing. But we're seeing just a glimmer of where the world will be in the future days after the rapture of the church. Ladies and gentlemen, these notices to shelter in place, these are governmental orders, and many are expected to obey them in that fashion. California has about 40 million people. Listen carefully. Think of the trickle-down, as I call it, effect. Americans get so many of our products and services out of California today. All of the potential commerce from California will come to a screeching halt. You hear me? In fact, majority of the national pharmaceutical distribution houses are on the West Coast, or some call it the Left Coast, out of California. What's going to take place with that when the distribution shuts down? And if they had said everyone shelter in place, 40 million people. That includes those truck drivers. That includes those manufacturers. That includes those factory workers. That includes everybody that's in this realm of commerce and distribution. It includes everybody that would be out harvesting crops and shipping vegetables, et cetera, et cetera. What I'm saying is, ladies and gentlemen, if the state of California with 40 million people are commanded by government edict to shelter in place, stay at home, don't leave your home, they're going to be major trickle-down effects that's going to be very difficult for us to live with in the balance of the nation. The state of New York is doing the same thing. Orders to stay out, stay at home, stay out of the public, to simply stay at home. The orders in New York been in place now for a week or so to shelter in place, stay at home. In fact, in New York City, there was a group of Jewish worshipers. They decided they would not go into their synagogue because of the close contact. They met out on the green space, and I don't know how many, 50, 100 people, and they were all praying. The city police, city of New York City, circled them, blue lights going, sirens screaming, jumped out of the vehicles with bullhorns. I watched the video on it. Jumped out of the automobile, the police cars, with bullhorns in their hands, and demanded that they leave, break up, disperse, and if you don't, you're going to be arrested. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I would have never dreamed that we'd hear that in America. I would have never dreamed that that's possible in our nation for it to take place as we're seeing it. I understand we need to be careful. I understand there needs to be caution. I understand there needs to be an attempt to prevent the spread. But if you have this group of worshipers that determine they're going to try to obey the separation of, you know, they're saying 4 to 6 foot apart for human beings. They're trying to do what is right. I'm sure washing their hands, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But then can't even get out on the green space in the city and bow and worship God without intervention from governmental officials, with the threat of arrest if they continue to worship. There's something wrong with that picture, ladies and gentlemen. I understand that we need to be careful. I understand all of that. But I can't fathom it being the heavy-handed, harsh approach to preventing worshipers from worshiping in that fashion. In fact, I'm looking at an article. Police show up at Louisiana church that was defying the state orders. Cities across America, the U.S. are becoming ghost towns. Many Americans without jobs as coronavirus continues to rise. Police responded Tuesday night to a Louisiana church where hundreds had congregated despite the state's ban on gatherings of more than 50 people, part of the effort to stop the spread of the coronavirus. Tony Spell, the pastor of Life Tabernacle Church in Baton Rouge, said, "No dictator law can stop my people and stop us from worshiping God," according to the local news. "We hold our religious liberties dear, and we're going to assemble no matter what, who says what." Further, police officer told the pastor that the National Guard will break up. Listen, told the pastor that National Guard will break up any future gatherings that violate the public health rules issued by the Louisiana governor, John Bel Edwards. That is horrific thinking, ladies and gentlemen. And then, I believe it was in New Jersey or New York, a person that owns and operates a bar and lounge and restaurant said, "I cannot pay my bills, I cannot pay my rent, I cannot pay my employees unless I stay open." He was willing to reduce the number to 50 and wanted to stay open to be able to pay bills and not lose his business. Never mind the fact, we're not talking about whether it's a bar and lounge. I'm against that anyway, you know that. But the point is, he was trying to balance it in some fashion to meet the need and at the same time meet the letter of the law or the present fiat laws, that I believe I could call them. There's not been any city council's meeting, not been any governmental agencies meeting, passing the bills that says you can do this. It's by fiat that some of these decisions are made. But because of that, the law enforcement came in, and the article said they brought a handyman with them, and they literally boarded up his restaurant doors. And because of the news spreading as it does by social media, everyone on social media was calling him everything but the devil himself. You see, what we're finding is we're finding people turning against people because there's a mindset, if you defy or if you stand for that which you think is right, that which you believe is honorable, then somehow, some way, the society says, you're the bad guy and you're the one that's evil. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm concerned about the things that's taking place. Up in New Jersey, there's a very large family. I forgot the number. It was on the early morning news, but the number of the family had, I think, 10, 11, 12 people. They all met and had a family gathering, and evidently one was contagious, passed it on, and now I believe it was three that have already died, the mother, the patriarch, and the family, and two or three of the children, and there are three or four of them now still in the hospital out of that large family. So I'm concerned, yes, with that in the reservation. But ladies and gentlemen, I believe that if we continue to see this, we'll see a global depression, not a recession, but a global depression. You heard me say earlier where one of the surveys said that 56% of the Americans believe that we could experience bread lines in America in the very near future based on the effects and things that's taking place in the world today. Ladies and gentlemen, our nation, yes, the world, is now facing a pathway that we could have. Not as we look at it, we have not traveled that way before. In fact, we're on that trajectory. We're on that pathway. Every day that we face today, ladies and gentlemen, we have not traveled this way before. In fact, it reminds me of the text in Joshua chapter 3 where they're about to cross over the Jordan River. And he told the people to prepare, sanctify yourself, because tomorrow we're going to pass a way that we've not traveled before. And I believe that's what we're seeing in this world today. One in four, as I mentioned a moment ago, one in four of the voters said that they wanted to postpone the November election. Here's the article. 25% of voters are willing to delay the November presidential elections as a precautionary measure against the coronavirus, according to the Rasmussen survey and study. One in four respondents to the Rasmussen survey, which was released Thursday, said they are already prepared to delay the 2020 presidential election. The seemingly high response came as local and state governments have suspended numerous services across the country in an attempt to stop the coronavirus spread. In fact, many of the pre-elections, the elections that should be making the decisions in March, April, May, and June as to the primaries, many of those have been canceled or postponed or rescheduled. Let me just touch this, ladies and gentlemen. I believe that when it gets to the election, if we have the November election, the closer we get to it, the socialist, Marxist, communist Democrats are going to be screaming that there's been a repression of the votes, suppression of the votes, and therefore we need to postpone the election or have the election only on write-in ballots or mail-in ballots. Ladies and gentlemen, that is on the horizon. That I'm not a prophet, nor the son of a prophet, as said in the little book of Amos. But I believe we're going to see a push to make the presidential election a write-in, mail-in ballot rather than in person, on the premise that it's dangerous for people to get out and vote. If that takes place, there will be a mega theft of votes and election in America. Here's the article I touched on by way of further introduction. Kourtney Kardashian. Now, I'm not a fan of these folks, ladies and gentlemen. Kourtney Kardashian suggests coronavirus is God's punishment for evil. The introduction says, the reality television star Kourtney Kardashian posted on social media the image of a passage from the Old Testament apparently to suggest the corona pandemic was God's punishment for people's evil behavior. Well, what she had posted on social media was the text in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles 7:13 and 14. And that is after Solomon had completed the temple and he had prayed the dedicatory prayer and God responded to him after the prayer. And it talks about in that text about epidemics. It talks about the text of locust and crop failure and possibility of things going awry. And that God says, I'm basically going to still be with you and protect you and supply for you. But ladies and gentlemen, what I want us to understand is that we are in a precarious position as a nation. But we need to look up. We need to recognize that man is not in control. God is. He has the whole world in his hands. We remember that old song that we remember back as lads in Sunday school. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole wide world in his hand. He's got you and me, brother, in his hand. So speaking about God, he's got the whole wide world in his hands. This is not the end of the world now. Listen, this is not the end of the world. Some have asked that question. Some may conclude that it is, but it's simply a sign of the headline news of the future. Today, we're able to get a glimpse, what I believe is a foreshadowing, of what the headline news will be in the future tense. But ladies and gentlemen, before we come to our break time, Dr. Phelps and I are going to be talking after the break, dialogue and discussion in detail about some of these things that's going to be headline news. But ladies and gentlemen, let me say, the next headline news will be something like this. CNN, ABC, NBC, MSNBC, the New York Times, the Boston Globe, et cetera, et cetera. All headline news is going to be something like this. Millions missing. Millions missing. I'm not talking about now as a result of the coronavirus, but we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, eschatological prophetic text, and we're talking about the rapture of the church. And the headline news from the lost world will be millions missing. Maybe the next headline news that you'll see, because the rapture of the church could take place tonight, could take place tomorrow, could take place before this broadcast is over today. But God's going to rapture out the Christians, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. The world will reel in shock as a result of businesses closing, guns being barred, as a result of hospitals and what is going to be taking place there. Can you imagine, ladies and gentlemen, when the rapture of the church takes place, as a physician about to insert the scalpel, and all of a sudden the patient disappears off the table? Can you imagine the panic in the operating room? Can you imagine the panic in the hospital down the hallway where the nursery is filled with little babies that's just been born, and all of a sudden the nurse comes running down the hall, panic-stricken, doctor, doctor, come quick, all of the babies have disappeared. Can you imagine the panic in the headline news as a result of that? Can you imagine the panic in the headline news when the jet airplanes careen off course because of a saved pilot being snatched out of the cockpit and the plane has no pilot and it careens to the ground? Can you imagine, ladies and gentlemen, when these things are taking place on a global basis and the headline news says millions missing? Millions of missions. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, what we are seeing today is only a glimpse of things to come, just a taste of life as it will be lived during the days of the tribulation. We're watching a taste, a sampling, a foreshadowing of the days of the tribulation after the rapture of the church. Can you imagine the rapture of the church taking place? The believers being suddenly seized. Families are in distress, heartbroken, because saved loved ones have disappeared, simply vanished off the planet of the earth. And they stand abandoned, lost, without help, without hope. Can you imagine after the tribulation, ladies and gentlemen, the headline news, millions missing, and then the trickle down from that, the days, the weeks to follow? Whole subdivisions are partially abandoned. There's no homeowner there because the homeowner's been raptured out. Can you imagine the future headlines of the rapture occurs? But ladies and gentlemen, after the rapture of the church, according to the Revelation text in chapter 6 and following, ladies and gentlemen, the world will be in mega chaos. Major shock waves with future headlines that'll take place. We're going to talk about that in a moment, of the defeat, the destruction, the dearth, and the famine, and the death that will be taking place, and the mega headlines that will recite that on a global basis. Now, I'm not trying to frighten anybody today, but I believe we need to look up, lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. I believe we need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that what we're seeing today, as bad as it is, if I can use poor grammar to make a statement, it ain't bad at all compared to where we're going. It's not bad at all compared to where this old world is going to be after the rapture of the church. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to see major catastrophic events, and we're going to see this as a glimpse, as a foreshadowing, as a foretaste of what God has in store for a world that said no to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a one-minute break at the top of the hour for our news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. The best is yet to come. We're going to be talking about what the Bible says that the world can expect for future headline news as this world continues without Jesus Christ.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.